Pause it, we're live.
Right.
Pause it, we're live.
Javi, do you have a podcast too, or?
Fuck, you kidding me? I have fucking Game Over Nation. I'm your host, Hunter.
Don't quit saying shit. Thank you. I love how he's the host now.
We got Chris, Bonzi, fucking Jeff, Tony Audette, Benny, and of course, Tony. Brian. We got Brian,
509-87. And get with the program.
Let's talk about that. You can't go to Boston to buy a $600 piece of hardware.
The only thing I worry about is
we should put some bacon on that bastard.
Oh, fucking bacon.
We're bringing bacon back in a big way. Back bacon.
The only thing I'm worried about is that, like, Fozzie's saying really cool shit. Like, so far away from the bike.
Yeah,
I love Fozzie.
We're trying to work that out.
We're delightful.
Fozzie's fucking smart.
Very smart. Yeah. Captain Morgan's smart.
I love it.
Captain Rolling the Rock.
Well, Chris, why don't you tell us what we're talking about this week?
You're hosting this, man. You're hosting this.
Alright, guys, well, let's talk about what we've been doing this week. Hey, before we start, why don't you guys go to GameOverNation.com?
Oh, dude.
I'm the host of the podcast. It's pretty cool. If you like Perfectly Insane Show, you'll love us. We're equally as fucking awesome. We have less.
Maybe
cool
not
week.
Equally,
but I'm just saying. Della Rosa, where the fuck is he? He's failing hard. He's probably
he got alcohol and everything tonight.
Where is Ryan at?
I think he's hanging out with Emma, so you can't blame him. He's doing what he's got.
Oh, they're having the sex. That's nice.
But this is the PAX episode of Perfectly Insane Show.
Will you stop being an ass and give the hosting rights to the host?
No, Chris has submitted. Here I am.
Well, Chris is going to keep it on track.
Yeah, Chris has got it on track. He's keeping it on the rails.
He's doing a very good job of keeping this on track.
Exactly.
I've heard several drunken episodes of GOBA, and this sounds exactly like all of them.
Tony, I love you.
So, Javi, what you going to do today?
You know, I did nothing today. I went into the fucking, play any game booth, and I played Tony Hawk 2 with Harrison.
I heard that.
Yeah, you guys came in?
Yeah, we saw you in there. That's pretty funny, man. Like, I love how they had set up that, like, little classic console room with, like, every console ever.
It really reminds you of, like, why you love games. You're playing, like, any classic console that you want, and, like, PS1, I don't know, something about Tony Hawk 2 really brought me back. And, like, we could spell out, and we were playing horse. But you can choose any word you want. So we got chose Harris with a bunch of S's. And I fucking kicked his ass. He was dead as shit. It was great.
I mean, it is a bit odd traveling all this way. You know, y'all do video games and play old games.
No,
it was a funny sight to see you guys sitting there.
Yeah.
And I kind of wanted to join it.
Fuck yeah, dude. You know what I mean? That's what it really reminds me that, like, I've been to a bunch of these conferences before. And you start to realize that it's not about the game. It's not about the new stuff. Like, cause that's gonna come out eventually, and you're gonna play, and it's okay. It's great. Whatever. But, like,
I'll figure it out.
You realize why games are so important to you. You play, like, the old stuff that reminds you of
your
childhood.
Talking about.
Huh?
He's talking about how games are more than just games. They're part of who we are.
I'm saying these conventions are more than just seeing the new shit. What? It's
about
what's great about PAX is it's about celebrating the culture. And like going into that little booth and playing Tony Hawk 2, which is old as shit.
Yeah.
It reminds you of like why you love it so much, and you're sharing it with your good friends. So that's what's important. The fucking PAX is so much better than E3. I can't say it enough. Like, just hang out with fucking Jeff, Chris, and fucking Tony, and Bobby, and Benny, and fucking Tony, and Brian. I love you guys. Like, seeing you guys is worth all the trip. We were just hanging out in a hotel just randomly. It's worth the
podcast.
It's worth the trip. Fuck, PAX is an excuse for all of us to get together.
That's true.
You know, I mean, so PAX is great. It's a lot of fun, but that's not what makes the trip worthwhile. I love you fucking
For me, if it was just about, like, if I was coming by myself to come see this show, I honestly don't think it would be...
I'd be a lot of bacon.
Well, a lot of the games here that they're showing are games that are coming out in the next couple weeks or months.
Yeah.
Which I could wait for if I needed to, so...
Yeah.
It's not worth it to sit for 2 hours in line and...
Yeah.
Right. Even to play a game for 5 minutes, it's just not worth it.
Absolutely.
Like, it's other stuff. It can't be that.
I mean, even so, I was at E3 last year. We played Twisted Metal and all these new games and stuff, but at the same time, it didn't have that fucking energy. Like, there's something in the air about all these people excited to share their passion for the industry.
And they just want to spread their juices all over the place, their passion.
I can feel it coming in tonight.
I mean,
thinking of passion juices. Fozzie's mouth.
Fozzie. I mean, the whole time I've been playing games, but really I've been
get that mic out of here.
Fozzie, I've been thinking about like hanging out with you and your mom. I mean, I love you guys.
Who the fuck are you saying you guys are?
You need 3 finals now.
We'll tell you that with the 4 of you.
You guys are so cool.
So fucking cool.
Right. So fucking cool.
Anyway, no, I agree with you. The passion juices and packs are overwhelmingly over fucking...
So what?
It's just that... Oh dear. We have a special guest.
Someone knocking?
I don't know about the passion.
They laughed.
Anyway, because E3 is more about it's stressful. It's like, fuck, you know, you gotta get this done, you gotta talk about this game and that game.
It's all business.
But PAX, it's like, even Greg, you know, I'm gonna name drop here a little bit, but Greg Miller, he was saying that, you know, I didn't have anything really, they wrote maybe like a couple hours today.
Right.
It's chill.
Exactly.
Well, I mean, that's reflected in the actual show itself. It's not just like the show floor, which has new games or whatever, but like you have entire rooms dedicated to celebrating classic games.
Right.
An entire room to celebrate to fucking arcade. There's a whole arcade for us to go in and fuck around.
Yeah, is Ms. Pac-Man in there?
Yeah, I probably.
Wait, where the fuck is this arcade?
No, upstairs.
No, there's like an actual arcade.
There's a whole arcade ready for you to go. All old school shit.
Yeah,
like
everything you can think of.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's that. And then not only that, but like there's fucking PC gaming tournaments. There's all these PCs ready for you to play with. And then, you know, on top of everything, not just tournaments, not just anything, but like there's a free play room. There's a gigantic free play room with all the games that are out and just consoles with them inside of them. So you can just like walk in, sit down, and play anything. You know.
Alright, we need to do some of this tomorrow. I didn't know anything.
Yeah, I mean, and this happens at every PAX. Like, PAX is there for everyone. And not only that, like, even stuff that we're not into, there's stuff for tabletop gamers. There's Dungeons and Dragons. There's, like, all these
things.
Some of us are into them.
We found that out today. Fozzie's some magic player.
I don't like to admit it, but it's pretty much... It's the nerdiest side of me that I know, which is Magic the Gathering. It puts me to shame in terms of gaming. Like, gaming is like...
That's great, dude.
Kind of nerdy, but Magic the Gathering, even gamers will say, wow, that fucking dude's there.
That's pretty high on the nerd tower.
Whatever, man. I play Pokemon the training card game. That's just dope. I'm sure there's like a Pokemon training card game tournament going on.
You know, and that's the thing, is that a lot of people that hate on it are also a lot of people that haven't played it. I mean, when you get really into it, it's like poker where you have that sensation of what you get next. Like, you never know the next card, what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And any card can help you turn the battle. Like, you could be down to one hit point and still fucking make a comeback with the right cards. And that's the cool thing about it, is that, like, people don't understand that. They don't understand the different colors and what they emphasize. Like, the green deck is more life and, like, power and stuff, and the blue deck is more countering, and then the black deck is more, like, leeching off of, like, your other opponents. It's just, it's crazy, and it's cool because everyone has a different play style. So, really, it's a very small community that does play it, but, you know, when you do, you're hooked.
But
you're
that
hooked.
Community is represented in PAX. That's
just
what
like Tiny Chess.
No, that's what I love about this convention.
Right.
I don't think there's anything like it in the fucking world. Like, it's all about... Literally.
You didn't go that far.
No, absolutely. Like,
wow. He's right. There's something. Like, this is the only PAX and PAX Private, the only public gaming convention.
Right. Yeah, I don't think Javi's ever been to the shower curtain ring convention that I go to every
shower
year.
Shower curtain ring?
Boy, you for all, I mean, for like...
This is
not years, right? If you lie to someone like that.
Yeah,
I'm trying to hear what Benny said.
Yeah. But that was literally just like, all right, let's let the public play some games that's coming out in a month or two. You know, like, there was nothing to it.
Well,
what was that, Benny?
For a second.
Like
pubic.
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 No,
let the pubic sin for a second.
I understand, like,
this is like drinking it, like, every time someone says Fosmod.
There's something...
I left those pubics in every day.
There's something magical about Fosmod.
That's what I was going to say. There's something magical about...
There's
something...
I will walk out of this goddamn podcast.
Bonnie and I are sharing a mic, by the way. He's going to punch me in the face.
Yeah, if the audio quality... I'm about to
punch you in the face.
No,
it's a lot worse, trust me.
The audio quality is going to be really bad because everybody's sharing mics, passing back and forth, as well. Fucking
yeah,
pass back.
This is, I mean, we should probably mention this is the first time we've ever recorded in the same room and the first time many of us have met. So.
Yeah. And they're
perfectly
all...
Perfectly sane, coming together.
Yeah, we're perfectly sane.
Yeah,
awesome.
We'll bring goddamn bacon back
fucking
in a big way.
Bacon
back. Fucking bacon, though.
It's
that's
alright, but yeah, no, there's something just fucking magical about PAX, the entire convention.
Right.
It's an excuse for people that love gaming in any shape or form to be together and celebrate it.
You're right, and I think that's very true, because when you look at E3, it's really more the big name games, but when you come here, there's something for everyone, like you were saying. You have that tabletop type gamers, and then you have those indie games that want to, like, be recognized, and they can't go to E3 because they don't have the means for it or anything like that, so they have to come to PAX. So
I want to go play Candyland tomorrow. Can you
do
that?
Candyland.
I'll play that and shoot some ladders with you any day, buddy.
Oh, man, a perfect example is like Limbo last year.
Right.
Me and Fonzie were here for PAX
East
last year, and Limbo had this tiny little booth hidden in the middle of the fucking convention. And
like a little gem.
Yeah, and it's...
Wait to be uncovered.
Wait, you were here last year? They had Limbo?
Yeah.
Wow, dude.
Right next to Snoopy Flying Ape.
It was tiny.
Right.
It was like total.
And that was actually a good game.
See, now I'm kind of wondering what, like, little indie game I completely messed up that's going to be huge.
Right.
That's it, dude. You just got to, like, really give everything a shot.
Magic.
Because there's a lot of people here that are trying to make a name for themselves.
Right.
And, like, fucking Limbo was here, and I interviewed, and it's the producer, him himself, and he was from, like, fucking Scotland or
something.
Right,
yeah. No, he was, his foreigner.
Yeah, but, like, he came here, and he was here for representing the game, totally indie, like, the team was
very humble.
Absolutely. Like, the team was, like, less than 40
people. Yeah, exactly. And that's the cool thing, like, most of these people, you know, it's very minimum, like, you know, to a T. And even, like, and there was actually a lot of iPhone games that have a lot of potential.
Totally.
One that really stuck out to me is one where, like, you can take over a specific place, like a Starbucks, for example, that has, like, a lot of people that go in and out of it. Then you build, like, a city in it, but people can attack your Starbucks and, like, take over it, which is kind of like Foursquare or something, but and with a more added depth. And I thought that this is a great, like, iPhone game. Once people hear about this, this can be addictive as fuck.
Yeah.
Because this is the type of game that people love, like, just, like, being able to say, hey, I rule this fucking Starbucks or something, and you can't fuck with my city. But that's the things that sell it, and And like I said, like you were saying, that like even like the smallest of games, like that don't even get much attention, they could turn out to be huge like blockbusters.
Oh,
yeah.
Like that one, huh?
Oh yeah, fucking based on.
I believe it's Bastion.
Bastion. Based on. They fucked up. They made postcards for some fucking reason. Like, I'm gonna send someone a postcard from Happy.
Check out the sick.
Brian and I were talking about this earlier, but the swag kind of sucks.
The swag has been awful. I mean,
oh man,
I want cups and t-shirts and stuff, but everybody's handing out stickers.
Right. Yeah, it's like if you want a t-shirt, you have to like pre-order their game.
They always have good stuff. I got a fucking track jacket from them when we went there last time. It was sick. Like,
from who?
Bethesda?
Bethesda?
Yeah.
No, it's Bethesda, man.
It's Bethesda?
Yeah, we had dinner with
they make that game called Bethesda.
They call it, she called it Bethesda, the chick that worked there.
I know, that's the correct pronunciation.
You said Bethesda.
This
guy said
Bethesda. Wait,
making fun of me.
I mean, motorboard. Okay,
with PG. It's fine to making something up. Like,
we're not going to Bethesda. Oh, you guys Bethesda are fucking amazing.
Embarrassing,
man, come on, Fallout, get your shit together.
Bethesda?
Yeah, Bethesda. Yeah, they made Fallout 3. Come on.
It's a town in Maryland, too.
It's okay. How the fuck am I supposed to know about a town in fucking Maryland?
You take geography on this shit anymore.
Geography? I live in goddamn Florida, okay? I don't live fucking 200 miles away from Maryland or something, okay?
Okay. We're Americans, we don't know shit about geography.
Do you know there's a Hollywood in Florida?
Yeah, Hollywood, Florida. No, yeah, Hollywood, Florida. Yeah, I thought it would be. Yeah, 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 yeah
about, first off, Benny, you work for GamerBuzz, correct?
Yes,
not
GamerBuzz. No one can hear
you. That is a fine thing. Benny works for the GamerBuzz.com.
Yes. You and your brother, Tino.
Yes.
How's it going, Tony? Sorry. All y'all look alike.
No way.
They're brothers.
Yeah.
I look damn
straight
way.
Like you're doing that.
You're such a racist.
I love you.
All white people.
Probably like the color part of me.
Todd's mom looks pretty good to me.
We're doing really well at the time. I mean, as of like 2 months ago, we were getting pretty minimal views, and 2 months later, we've like more than quadrupled our views.
All right, Benny.
They're looking longingly into each other's eyes right now.
Yes, I mean, we're great. I mean, it's, I don't mean to get off VR, but I mean, it's like a, for me, it's like, I love the site. There's only one other place I would leave it for.
Game of Nation, right?
I mean, well, that's just default. I mean, I'm talking about something else.
My giving.
But, like, some place that might actually pay you to...
Right. Exactly.
He wants to leave for Denny's, obviously, because Denny's made some fantastic goddamn meals.
Okay.
$2, you can get appetizers, my friend.
$2 appetizers.
It's tough that your cars don't like make a lot of static noise when they're moving around, because everybody's like...
Really? Well, do that. But that's easy to take out.
Oh, well, that's a lot of listening.
I kind of feel bad for our generous host here, Chris. I have to edit this one at some point. It might take a week or two.
I don't edit shit.
Let's not give him too much credit.
Okay.
Wait,
Rick. Go to the GamerBuzz.com.
And when you're done, go to the Game Over Nation.
Oh my god, Benny, you're so sweet.
How are we getting screwed in this deal?
well, to be fair, they have to actually go to our page.
They have to come here first.
Podcast. You should probably check out Perfectly Sane Show.
If you've gotten this far and don't know who the Perfectly Sane Show are,
we're sorry.
But when they're done, definitely come back to Perfectly Sane.
That's right.
And Movie Dude.
With shitty audio.
There is a podcast called Movie Dudes. I don't know if anyone knows.
You guys are more excited about movies than about
I'm excited about Movie Dudes. I have much enthusiasm for it.
I love it. If you have the enthusiasm for Perfect Saints Show.
I bring it for Perfect Saints. What are you talking about?
Shut up, shit. I'm giving them love. Fucking movie dudes is dope.
I love listening to
you guys talking about movies
because
I love movies.
Thank you, that's the whole point of the show.
We're hoping people would interact
with us
more about
it.
Yeah, but you know, Jeff, fucking Scott Pilgrim's awesome. What the fuck's wrong with you?
Scott Pilgrim,
it's cool.
Okay.
Yeah, I feel like everybody's expecting like Shakespeare. Everybody's expecting like a great moral story.
No, I wasn't.
It's entertaining, isn't it? Cool. It's really just cool. Like literally the word cool. Like that's fucking rad. That movie's rad.
I'm pretty sure anything with Michael Cera is not cool.
Are you kidding me? Like, come on, that fight with, like with fucking Chris Evans and all those gun doubles, that was, like, straight up Jackie Chan.
No, I mean...
Who doesn't love Jackie Chan?
That's the worst part.
Fuck it. Fuck you, bro.
That was definitely the worst part.
You brought that fucking
movie.
Mouth.
That was pretty bad.
I think people
kind of hyped it up too much. Maybe that was
that's it. That's it. I think people need to shut the fuck up about it. If you just take the movie at face value, it's entertaining.
All right.
Yeah. Okay.
Before we turn this into movie dudes, and before
we have four different conversations going on.
Okay, that's
perfectly sane movie dudes.
Before we turn this into movie dudes, I will just say it felt like I'd seen everything it had to show within 30 minutes, and it just repeated it over and over until the end.
You know, I couldn't get enough of the fight. Like, you know how it's like evil Scott and like usually the audience is like, I listen to the commentary and they're talking about like, it's a joke. The audience is supposed to be like, oh god, another fight, and then it's like, oh, it's a joke, you know. But I was ready for another fight. I love fight scenes. I love Jackie Chan. I'm ready to fucking
how is that Jackie Chan in any way? that skateboard part was stupid.
You know what movie is stupid?
Oh, no. You guys...
Okay,
the skateboard part was cool until he, like, had to die because he went off the...
That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about he's fighting all the guys.
Oh, my God!
So, yeah. If you're a big fan of Jackie Chan, which I am...
How does this correlate with Jackie Chan whatsoever?
Okay, how many times have you seen movies where Jackie Chan fights like 30 dudes?
Right.
Yeah.
He's a fucking man.
And he has 7 dudes all around.
Except he keeps hitting the same guys over and over and over again. Like, he doesn't take any of them out. They just keep
fucking
coming.
Fuck that shit. Fucking Jackie Chan's fucking bad. Fuck Jet Li. Jet Li ain't got shit. You ever seen Jet Li? Suck. He's on wires.
He's not.
I thought Dying Lethal Weapon 4.
That's what I'm talking about. Dying.
That's a good movie.
Anyway,
like
come on.
The weapon movie by far.
This podcast is about video games.
Wait, video games?
Let's start over from the video.
Hey, you know, Chris and I actually saw a world premiere today.
Yeah, we did. We did.
I thought that.
I don't think anybody wants to hear about that, though.
Yeah. Moving around, you have to like.
I thought levels too long. I never thought I would complain about levels being too long in an arcade style game.
Right.
Like that. But it works.
I think it was just like you had to double tap to like move fast. It's like that should have just been how you move. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Fuck. And then to get up took like 10 hours to play your level though.
I played like 2 levels. And that game was ridiculously deep, but it was like...
I almost 100%ed it, except for they had a trophy that glitched it out. They had a trophy that you can't get unless you reset.
That's how you get the 360 version.
Yeah, it's the same thing as the 360 version. That never happened. Benny!
Actually,
did, because
we have it on
the
fucking mic.
You're not
Benny.
You're Benny.
Oh, shit. Fucking Tony.
All right, so, Javi.
I'm confused.
Tony and I think Brian was there, too. We saw World Premiere today.
World Premiere of what?
Was that game called? That's a horrible name.
Kingdoms of Amalur Reckoning, which is the most awkward name of any game I've ever been really excited about.
Yeah, that name, like, turns me off.
Okay, what game are we talking about?
This game was announced a while ago, but today they actually showed their world premiere of their gameplay.
It's Reckoning Kingdoms of Amalur.
I get excited
because
I think of Cody.
Fucking Kurt Schilling threw a curveball at us, right?
It's by Kurt Schilling Studios. It's 38 Studios.
Getting excited.
And
yeah, he used a baseball term. Big football thought about it. Fucking Kurt Schilling came that fastball. He's like, fuck off, I'm coming to curveball. Fuck off, you're out. And then he's like, look, check out this game. It has the stupidest name ever, but it's awesome. Game over.
He did say it was awesome.
Yeah, he in fact indicated that it would kick ass. That was his
sports references. No one doesn't say it. This is really hilarious.
Kershaw's throwing a fastball. What?
But disguised as a curveball. See ya.
I love that no one has a mic on you.
We're just going to be picking Fozzie up in the back there.
Oh, there's like four fucking microphones here. One of it's going, look at this, every time I'm talking, so we got a fucking microphone in the face.
Alright, so was this game at a panel or what?
I guess, right?
And was Kurt Schilling there?
Kurt Schilling was actually there. He introduced the game, and then they had the development lead.
He's retired.
Ran through a game
plan.
So they actually played the game in front of us, which was nice.
I'm so sad I missed that time.
Shut up, Bob. It's not your magic.
Yeah, I normally don't leave like stuff like that and go like that looks really cool. Pre-shit. That it actually looks really good. The environments were like really pretty. They were really detailed too for something that's pre-alpha. There's a lot of detail and everything.
What? Good. Go on.
Oh, no, we're good.
I go ahead.
You're talking about Bobby.
I don't pee.
Okay.
Yeah, that doesn't go far enough.
This is quickly turning into the...
All right, Chris.
He almost slipped on that little postcard. Fucking bastard. Fucking. You know?
Based on him.
I got beat.
Alright.
Anyhow.
Yes.
Tell us more about... what the fuck is this?
Stupid name RPG?
Yeah, let's say
Kingdom
again.
Of Amalur Reckoning.
Yes.
Yeah, there's like a cool Diablo loot type system to it.
Really?
And it does, you know, talk
about... The inventory system was incredible to me. Like, when you went to actually pick up loot, you could compare it to what you were already wearing and, like, equip it from that screen.
No. Did you have, like, a semi for it?
Yeah, okay. This was a full range.
It was a teabag,
it's from a teabag radio pedometer meter. This was a full on to both.
You know, I have never gotten this excited by an inventory system before. Like,
this was a level 5 full on hallelujah.
It was like from the screen where you could pick up the loot, you could equip it, you could drop stuff. Yeah. Like, it
that's
was like.
I love because it's the little things that makes a good video game great, I think. And if they can do that, being a new developer like that, it shows a lot.
It's just like, once you hear about it, like, that seems like something that's so obvious and like a nice way to streamline.
They pretty much said that too. They were like, you know, I mean, it just seems like
it's
such
great,
an obvious thing that should have been
great,
done way
it's
before.
It's great for beginners and it's great for people that...
As long as the depth of the RPG is lost, if you make it simpler for me, that's fine, man.
And if they're putting the simple parts like this, like the inventory. No one wants to spend 2 hours with the inventory. You want to be in and out. They make it shorter, but better.
Yeah, I mean, you're not even really entering the inventory when you're doing this, right? You're going to pick it up and a little window pops up.
That was the thing. You didn't have to press start and hop through and go through a bunch of menus to get there. You walked up to your loot, you hit A, and you were there, and you could do everything you needed to do.
Okay, so was this
thing
on
the
floor, or was this...
This game was actually shown in a theater.
Right.
So you had to... There was a panel.
So they also, I mean, they got some big names behind, like, working on the creative side of it.
Right.
Ken Ralston, who was lead designer on Morrowind and Oblivion. Todd McFarlane, you know, you guys know him
from Spawn,
like a motherfucker.
Yeah, and evidently, like, he's also an Emmy award-winning animator, which I didn't know. And then R.A. Salvatore, the fantasy writer. So, who has evidently written 10,000 years worth of lore for the game?
Yeah, it's insanity.
How does the game look as far as polish goes?
You know, it looks surprisingly polished for a game that probably isn't going to release until 2012. They didn't tell us the release date, but I mean, the environments look fantastic, the character models look great. I mean, some of the effects were a little off, and some of the sounds were a little questionable.
Off, I mean, a little off spot.
Right, exactly. It was nothing that couldn't be easily ironed out.
Was it chugging and looked as...
It didn't chug at all. Not even a little.
No, which is funny because we walked by the Lord of the Rings game.
War for the North.
I was previously excited for it because it was by the studio that did Champions of NORAD. I'm expecting a top-down RPG.
Yeah, so we went and saw Lord of the North. We just saw the video, and that game is like chugging, like frame rate wise, it sucks.
Okay, right.
Lord of the War of the North, the Lord of the Rings.
I checked out Kingdoms, whatever they were talking about. I checked out.
Okay. How did that look?
Visually, I don't know. I would say, has anyone played the Dragon Age 1 and 2 here?
No.
Yeah, I played both.
Played half of one.
I would imagine I played the demo for Dragon Age 2. It was pretty polished, especially in the first one.
Right.
I would imagine that would kind of be difficult, and it could be hard for development.
Well, you think that, when you mean polished, you mean that it's more fluid?
Like, the animations are, could be better, but they're okay.
Wait, Betty, did you play the actual game?
Hunted or whatever? I just played.
I saw the trailer for it. I was like, this looks like this War in the North game. I was so excited for it. I saw at least one game on the floor that looked way better than it. It was the same type of thing.
Yeah, I haven't seen that. The Champions of the Codename Kingdoms or
Kingdoms of Amalur Reckoning.
Yes. Yeah, I'm sure that game, based on what you guys are saying, actually it looks at least visually better when it comes in.
It was I played Two Worlds 2 a couple weeks ago, and it's infinitely more polished than that game, and that game's out.
Yeah, as far as the polish goes, I would imagine that this Hunted, whatever the game is, is okay. It's probably as polished and as...
Weird though, the Kingdoms of blah blah blah, is that a third person action RPG?
Yeah.
And the camera's behind the character? It's weird, it's three games like that at the show.
It really reminded me of Two Worlds 2, but it's better looking and not shitty.
There we go. I am king of mispronouncing words.
Why am I talking to Mike? Your mic's unplugged. You can talk into it all you want.
I get really unplugged.
Really unplugged.
Probably the most genius
thing. Yeah.
Kingdoms game.
Kingdom.
Yes.
Did anyone play the fucking Lord of the Rings online?
Wait, Lord of the Rings online?
Yeah.
Or the Lord of the Rings, the other game?
I think it was funny. We walked by Matt. It was right next to War for the North. And the MMO looked fantastic in comparison.
Yeah.
No frame rate drops. I was looking at War for the North and I was like, what's the frame rate on this game? 7?
Yeah. And the textures on it was ugly. It had weird game conventions too. The guy busted open a cave.
Yeah.
And there was a chest behind it. It made no sense, contextually.
And just it looked like a mix of the hack and slash shit, but also first person or third person shooting with a bow and arrow. War in the North. And it's like I said, I was excited for this game based on the pedigree that we had going in, and then when I finally saw it, I'm like, yeah.
We could do nothing but mock. We couldn't see anything.
It had co-op.
And they had three people there playing, one of which was a guy from the studio. We were just standing right behind him, making fun of the game the entire time.
I always feel bad for that too, but it is.
Why are spectators?
It is what it is, but I don't know where I'm trying to go with this, but I thought it was pretty cool. I like the co-op aspect of it. I thought that's pretty neat.
I'll be honest, I would probably play the game, but seeing that there's two other games similar to this coming out, way better. It surprised me.
That's true.
It also surprised me that I figured these champions guys would be doing one of those top down dungeon crawlers instead of the cameras fixed behind the person, which is a little. I was surprised by that, but whatever. I guess those are out of style now.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you guys get the pack, the swag bag today?
No. No. No.
So there's a piece of loot in there for League of Legends, and apparently it sells on eBay for $25.
No one could hear fucking Brian.
Really?
You're welcome.
Amanda, I love you.
Wait, why does it sell for $25? What is so...
Apparently it's like an exclusive deal for PAX.
It's like limited edition.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
Only
I remember that Pikachu card, and that was kind of worth a lot in a McDonald's thing.
Really?
I remember I sold
what
my...
What the hell are you talking about?
I sold my Red Dead Redemption DLC. Oh, yeah. Like, it was something that came with a computer from GameStop for like $15 on eBay. Like, I made it half, or not half, but I made a decent amount of money.
Don't throw away your bag. Cool. Definitely sell that shit on eBay.
I should use the Wi-Fi and the fucking dog.
So you're saying that if I got enough of those swag bags, I could essentially pay for this trip.
Dude, you probably could,
because
I guess the
deal with... And
maybe I can get a stupid... I don't bag it up for dinner.
Excited.
You all right there, Javi?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good.
Okay.
How many years deep are you right now?
Take
the
ball for
you.
Oh,
what I
think.
Yeah.
Great. So, anyways, back to video games.
Yeah.
Have we talked about the games that we played at the show so far?
Not really. No. I mean, we talked about more too that we saw.
Shit. We're all here.
Yeah. So.
All right, Brian. Yeah. What did you see that you want to talk about?
I actually spent the majority of my day getting an iPad 2, so I didn't really play any games.
So Brian played the waiting game.
So Brian, I saw this game today. This random developer walked up to me, and he showed it to me. It's called Stem Stumper. It's $1.99, and it's going to appear on the App Store in April-ish. So, you're okay.
Why not?
He's going to update it, too.
He's going to update it, too, for what?
Bobby. You know, for extra levels and stuff.
Dude, Gummy's
wait,
we're
holding for a little
while. All right, so Russell Brand has just joined us.
I
haven't played with it yet. I can't get on the internet, so
I've had
without any app.
Kind of pointless.
It's fast. Stop being excited.
Stop being excited. That should be
Bobby's
new fucking catchphrase.
Stop being excited.
Stop being excited. No,
So back to games, maybe.
Maybe.
Benny, what have you seen on the floor? By anything?
No, I saw Hunted. I think that's
perfect. That
Hunted,
yeah.
The Demon's Forge. That game.
I'll come with you if you want.
I Hunted.
like gear? Like Cabela's Big
like
Game Hunters?
Yeah.
Hunted Demon's Forge is the game we
Well, we talked about that again.
Yeah.
Did you?
Really good.
Oh, you don't want to play
that,
actually,
yeah. Yeah, it was actually really good.
We noticed that just by looking, like, over shoulder.
I noticed. From watching, it was bright environments for once, which you don't really... I didn't remember seeing on the first
game. Yeah, it looks like... I can't really speak for the multiplayer, but I mean, the other game for the campaign. It looks like... I mean, very light.
That'll give us a podcast.
I think it's great, and... the multiplayer was fun. There's definitely tweaks when it comes to the roadie run. I don't play one map. I'm going to play some more tomorrow.
What did they do to the roadie run? Because I thought it was a weird change.
It sounds like something I do to my old lady fucking every Thursday night, right? Whoops.
Oh, you fucked
my ginger ale.
My ginger ale.
No wonder this room reeks of beer.
It's just ginger
ale. That's okay. It'll probably be good for the carpet.
go get another towel.
It'll get
some
beer.
I know.
That's long gone. So we're talking about the rodeo run and not what Fozzie does to his old lady.
Well, I asked, what are the changes?
Yeah.
Rodeo run, not what Fozzie does to his mom.
Because you're not married, so I mean, your old lady's gotta be your mom.
It's a fucking
or your grandma. I don't know what goes on in your house.
I'm kidding, Bobby. I love you.
I love your mom.
Yeah.
Stay close.
Oh,
man. What do you want?
Definitely post this video on your site.
I love how Benny's face is always so serious. You're recording the whole thing?
Yeah, I've been recording.
Well, at least it's serving a purpose.
Yeah. It wasn't $700 for nothing.
And I will make it worth it.
Camera.
Fuck off.
Awesome.
Do you have a Snuggie on?
Yeah.
I should have brought mine down.
I know, I have a Snuggie on.
I'm wearing my Snuggie tomorrow night. Just gonna run around the hotel in it.
Oh, the Snuggie that
you
I did.
You guys
with
your AC running all night long.
Blanket?
Yeah.
No, as an aside, Jalen, were you drinking tonight?
No, not at all.
Really?
I mean, because...
Oh, okay, can we get back to Roadie Run?
What is this? Yeah, we're on this Roadie Run for 20 years.
What are you talking about?
All right, so
Roadie Run.
It's your sport when you want to move fast.
I enjoy it.
No, it's not. Yours is awesome.
My favorite game.
Yeah, I thought that 202 was going to be the next game of the year. But I was very disappointed.
Roadie Run.
Yes,
all right, Roadie Run.
Let's
talk.
Yes, I swear to God, me talking about Roadie Run is not worth all of this.
No, it's not.
Like, it's just like one little bit of an
adversity. I don't know. Like, I know that they put like where your body will... it'll arc to the side or pitch to the side or whatever, but she said. And, okay, Gears of War 3 multiplayer event pack 2011.
We've lost track of what the fuck we're talking about.
Where are we? What is it? Yeah, everyone up to date.
Still no Roadie Run explanation.
I'm calling this episode the Roadie Run.
All of that audio.
No, we're using the whole shit.
You gotta talk it to him talking all the time, don't you?
Okay, they moved the camera around a little bit, but it's not that different, but it's still cool.
Okay.
This play is gorgeous, it's beautiful, and it's fun.
What, Two World 2?
Wait,
are we still talking about Two World 2?
Is that the name of the character?
So, I played Tony Hawk Pro Skater 2 today. The game for this.
Are you having a conversation?
Yeah.
This is perfectly insane.
I think we're just gonna take Brian's video and post that.
It'll
<Yeah. laughs>
awesome. Be fucking great, dude.
Let's tell you this thing.
So Gears was good.
So yeah, the Roadie Run. Let's clarify for everyone listening. All of the smart people.
The name has no attachment to the character.
They were smart.
It's more description of what.
It's the spread function.
You hold down A. Crouching and someone speed run.
So why didn't they call it Roadie?
Well, I think because it's somewhat like the camera behind it kind of shakes a bit. I think that's supposed to be like somewhat like the stunt Roadie.
Two World 2 already took shaky cams, so that's the turns for
it. I think it's somewhat of a Patrick's name, more than the name itself. It's describing how it looks.
Okay. But not with you, but okay.
It's like calling it
they, they probably explained it 4 years ago when Gears 1 came out. Nobody knows what it is now.
Well, it's
Flippy B doesn't need to explain.
Did you guys see Flippy B on the
floor?
Who? No,
I know
he's here, though.
I haven't seen him, but I know he's here.
Yeah. Short.
Oh, he was on the floor? You saw him?
I saw him, yeah.
Well, okay,
was he at the Gears booth, or?
So Gears
was he working in the Gears booth?
Complex?
I can see that.
That's very...
I want to talk
to Flippy. Let's get more in depth about this.
Yeah.
Let's not talk about
Quick. You brought it up.
Yeah.
We talk about anything.
I like to talk about Two World 2.
We talk about Roadie Run for 20 fucking minutes.
Wait, have we talked about 3DS?
No, we haven't.
Oh, yeah.
I think this show is called.
Talk about 3DS. Just
I mean, everyone here has played 3DS, right?
No. I think, yeah, everyone at the show, that was one thing that we had very easy access to. There's not that many games out there, right? But I think everyone got to play 3DS because if you hadn't
been okay.
For a while.
Jayla did not either.
Can't wait for
did you not play it?
No.
And me neither.
Did we mention that Jayla came in?
No, we didn't.
Jayla is here.
Yeah.
We could definitely have an in-depth
She might be on camera.
We could have,
we
could have an in-depth, three-dimensional discussion on 3DS. Right fucking now.
Alright, go ahead, Jeff.
You sure about that?
Go with
it. Because I bet he can interrupt it all the time.
I was impressed by it. It was my
I can totally knock his track out if I want.
Okay.
Sure, we can do whatever we want.
I could.
But
I...
I like the thumb slider, whatever you want to call it.
I love the thumbstick. It was great.
It feels really good. They did a really good job.
It's a nice system.
It's a nub, right?
It's the next generation of what?
The nub.
The nub.
Yes, the nub.
I love the nub.
But, and of course, when I talk about the 3D, it's not 3D that pops out, but it has very good depth. I mean, yeah. So the 3D to me looks better than some movies I've seen in theaters in 3D.
Absolutely.
And I'm not wearing glasses.
Crash is
2,
I saw 3D. Holy shit. It looks so beautiful.
And we did, I'm sure we'll talk about the games everyone played, and I'll talk about the games I played, but honestly, the thing that was most interesting to me was the augmented reality games that you can play, which is like these little cards that will come with the system. You lay them on a table, and you have to like turn on the camera on the 3DS. And it makes games out of it, like when things will start popping out of the camera.
Does it come with the system?
Right. So there's like a little Mario coin block, and like shit will just start like popping out of it and folding out of it. And it'll actually fold the table that you're looking at, and cave it in and stuff.
It isn't only just a placement card, it'll actually shift anything that's on the camera. So like for me, when I was playing it, sorry to interrupt you.
No.
I was like a dragon popped out, and you had to shoot it. Like, unfortunately, there was people around, but if you circled the table, you would just I would have had to shoot the dragon back. It was like as if it was right in front of me, and it was in 3D. It looked great, but it also shifts. And like at first, when the first time I played it, it was just a flat surface, just a table, and it flipped. You know, as if there was like a hidden door or something like that. So it actually changes the environment of whatever you're looking at.
Yeah, and the cool thing about it is like you're playing the game using the camera, right? It's mixing the camera and the 3D elements, and the way you're aiming, there's like a little crosshair at the center of the camera, so like you're moving the 3DS around to aim at what you want to shoot at. I mean, it was, I think, more interesting than the games I played with.
I think that's more interesting than the 3D element of the 3DS, personally.
No, I would agree.
Yeah.
I mean,
although that's not very new, they actually had that with some ad coverage for the movie Avatar, where you would just use your webcam and you get a special card similar to that one, and you hold it in front of your webcam and you would shift it around and it'd be like a 3D world on the cover. So it's not original, but as far as the video game industry goes, I think it is. And I think it's really cool.
I thought though that anything that involved taking the DS, the 3DS, and moving it around made it really hard to keep it at, like, the 3D only works if you have it at that one specific angle to your eye level, and anything that involved moving it around,
the gyroscope,
right, made it really hard to keep it that angle. Like, I thought it really annoying.
Yeah, I noticed when I was playing a game in 3D, even if I slightly moved the 3DS, like half a centimeter or something, like, down, like, you could lose the effect.
Right.
But for some reason, when I was doing the augmented reality shit, like, it seemed to work.
Well, maybe because it's more altering what you're looking at, and not altering the game.
Yeah.
But it was really impressive. In the end, I wasn't really blown away, even by the 3D. It adds depth. It's not going to make you, like, really pull your head back out of surprise or shock, as far as, you know, something popping out at you. But overall, I think it was impressive. I wasn't blown away, but it was impressive.
Okay, so I have four reviews that actually got hands on with it, like, $250 worth.
If it has the software to support what it's doing now with augmented reality, and I played Nintendogs, and as far as depth goes, I mean, Jeff's right on, like, depth is key, and when you get the right game, like a first-person shooter, and you have long hallways or whatever, it feels like, oh, that wall is way over there, or that building is way over there, they can definitely do it, but with a system that has the power of the PS2, that makes me see. So you need to have the software to support it, otherwise it's just...
So maybe.
I did manage to get my hands on three different games, and I mean, Ocarina of Time was Ocarina of Time. Like, it's the same basic gameplay. They did throw in a couple wrinkles,
like I know when you're shooting your little slingshot, you could actually move the 3DS around and use that as the aiming tool.
Really? I didn't notice that.
Which was cool. But I mean, it was the same basic game. It was pretty, I mean, the textures were a lot better than anything you saw in the
It definitely looked much better than the original. I think they went back and redid a lot of
They must have redone all of it.
And the animation of at least, like, it looks much better than the original.
Yeah, it doesn't look janky anymore. Like, right. I didn't actually play it. I looked over Tony's shoulder, and, I mean, it looked like you were playing a cartoon, which is what you probably thought you were doing when you played the 64 version.
Right.
But you go play that version now, it's like, what the fuck was this? Like, it just doesn't look good anymore.
Like, if you're looking for Ocarina of Time for 2011, there it is.
And it looks good now. So.
I just want Star Fox.
Yeah, I really want Star Fox.
No.
I can't
Star Fox wasn't on the 4, was it?
No.
I want Star Fox.
It's a little weird.
Did you guys actually play Ocarina, though?
Yes.
Yeah.
So the one thing that I didn't like about that game is the way the camera is controlled.
The camera is not controlled.
I think that's one thing the 3DS loses, is, especially when they're porting N64 games, is that dedicated camera stick.
Right.
And I didn't like the way Ocarina controlled.
So do you think that the 3DS could run into the same problem that the PSP did with just the one analog stick? Like,
I don't think
so.
No.
It's Nintendo. They know them.
But when it comes to handheld.
I think some of the ports will have this issue. They will.
Yeah, but Nintendo knows that, how to handle that, but will other developers be able to, like, pick up on that?
Well, but, I mean,
will Capcom do that with Resident Evil,
how to deal with that. Because I didn't think Ocarina controlled well. It's kind of shitty.
I will say I felt a lot more at home with the Nintendo 64 controller than I did when I had it.
Yeah.
On the 3DS. It seemed a lot easier to control to me. There were times where I was trying to just walk across the ropers and I kept falling off. And that never happened to me on the 64.
Yeah, I don't know. The camera just definitely doesn't follow you the way it was designed to.
Yeah.
So, overall for me, I think it's snap of impressive.
Did you guys play any other games? I managed to get in Kid Icarus.
Yeah, I played Kid Icarus too.
That was fun. I liked it.
Really? You liked it? Like,
yeah.
I thought it looked good, but
the on-rail shooting was cool. It was a little awkward, though, to hold up the system at the same time, because you needed to use the stylus to actually aim.
I was using the thumbstick.
Well, the thumbstick moved you around. The stylus was the aiming reticle. So if you actually wanted to shoot anything, you had to use the stylus to move it around.
I will forfeit my whole opinion from now on.
Like, it was really awkward.
Holding the
system up. And, like, that made it hard. Like, once I actually, like, got coordinated enough to actually manage all that at the same time, the gameplay got really fun.
See, something about the DS that I've never liked is shooters on it, because I don't like having to point. I don't like having to use the stylus that much, really. I don't like touchscreen controls. I don't like the Zelda with touchscreen controls. I think it was ruined that fucking series on the DS.
Did you just say you don't like Zelda?
He did say that.
I honestly do not like the DS Zelda. I couldn't get through.
We're holding you back
to
that.
Yeah.
Also, I think it was one of the memory limitations that caused the DS to have a lot of backtracking.
Right. I guess. I mean, I don't know.
Well, did you ever finish one? Did anyone ever finish one of those Zelda games?
I finished both of them.
Did they have a lot of backtracking? Like, where you go back to the same temple?
The first one definitely did. I think that was just a design flaw of the game. I didn't notice that as much with the second one.
So Zelda Take the Train is better?
I played, like, 30 minutes of that. I was like, okay, I'm done.
See, I did not like Phantom Hourglass because there was this temple you had to go back to over and over, which it might be a design flaw, but it might be, like he said, like where they had to do it because of limitations.
Right.
But it was like this time temple. We had to keep going deeper and deeper and deeper into it. I don't know if you guys remember this. And I fucking hated that temple.
What game is this?
Phantom Hourglass. It's like basically...
Yeah, oh, yeah. This was
you had a temple that was timed, but you had to keep coming back to it, and... You had to go deeper and deeper into it, and it was timed every time. It was Oh god, I hated it.
It's fucking cold in here.
Is it really that cold?
It keeps resetting
itself to whatever.
To 60 degrees.
To 65, sir. 50
is awesome. I wish I could get my.
Oh, Chris, we're both on over here, right?
Yes, you are.
Okay.
Yeah, no. I reset it after we plugged Fozzie back in after Javi blacked out.
So it was like, did anyone play every game?
I managed to play Ocarina of Time, Pilot Wings, and Kid Icarus. Pilot Wings, though, I probably shouldn't have touched that one.
Yeah, I played Nintendo. I played that Augmented Reality thing, which is probably the coolest thing there. And then I played, we just mentioned earlier, it was like a submarine game.
Steel Diver.
Yeah, there you go. That was okay. That was the first one I played.
My problem with Steel Diver is, though, is like a lot of it is getting up and moving around with Periscope, right? Like,
right, which breaks the 3D.
Well, and it also, like, how much moving around do you want to do with your handheld when you're on the bus or, like, the train? Or
right.
Can you do it?
Right, exactly. Like, you're sitting on the train, like, you're going to get up and, like, walk around the fucking train.
Did anyone try to, like, not stress the system? Did anyone actually try to see what else you can do? Maybe you could use it. I could see the analog
or
the actually just completely
right. I mean, I didn't play it, but from what I've heard,
I feel like the mechanics of the gyroscope works really well. In Ocarina, controlling the slingshot, it works really well. It's actually a much better gyroscope than an iPhone 4 in my opinion, but it breaks the 3D, which kind of negates the purpose.
Are you whispering sweet nothing to me? What?
Bring all of us alcohol. We need to
come over and smoke.
Oh, come on.
Keep the show running.
Wait.
You don't understand, when we record the show, I fucking smoke the whole time. I'm like, I need to smoke at this point.
So, That was about it for 3DS?
I think that the gyroscope issue is going to be a problem for a lot of games. Like, if you look at how people use the DS now,
right,
and compare to what Nintendo is expecting you to do with the 3DS, is it even going to be possible?
Well, I think that as far as, like, maybe they can implement a bounding box similar to the FPSs or whatever, as far as maybe just move it into a certain direction and it'll pan its own way.
Right.
That's I'm not saying that's the best replacement, but if you're on a bus...
Well, just think of what you saw today with all the people, like, standing in line for Duke Nukem, and all of them were standing there with their DSs. Having to hold it at a specific angle while you're standing up, or have to move it around, like,
definitely one of the things, especially Ocarina, I didn't play Steel Diver, but you don't have to use the gyroscope. You can use the controls.
You can also turn the 3D off, which was nice. I love the little slide. It's right there. It's right by your thumb. So at any point, you can.
Yeah, I mean, I was only looking over Tony's shoulder, but I could see the 3D, and it was giving me a headache when you shut it off. Like, it's fine. No headache, exactly.
Well, you can also, like, set the 3D to different, like, settings. Like, you could find the sweet spot for you. Like, I know when I had the 3D turned up for full bore, I literally couldn't see what was going on. I'm like, oh my god, my eyes. And I immediately turned it down.
That's strange, because I always have it on full or 10, whatever.
So did I.
That's strange. Whenever I saw that, I was like, what's the purpose of it? For me, it was like, just have it on or off, but that kind of makes sense for someone like you. Maybe it's vision, maybe it's my vision. But I think it just...
I think it's definitely my... It's like, when I watch, like, a 3D movie, I don't get the 3D effect well. I can see the depth of field, but I don't get the pop-out stuff, and I always end up with a headache.
Yeah, I don't see that either, but I didn't have a problem with the 3DS at all. I think it works really well.
I think the problems that I had as far as the 3D go were more so either I wasn't holding it correctly, which that's technically my fault, or the game was not using it correctly. I wouldn't really call it the problem with the device and technology. Overall, for what the technology offers, more so depth as far as the 3D goes, I think it's pretty well. Depth-wise, anyway.
Right. I think it's asking a little too much of the user to expect them to hold it at one angle for an extended length of time. Like, I don't think I could literally hold it for more than 5 minutes at that proper angle. Like, the fact that the demo itself, you could only play whatever you're playing for 5 minutes. Imagine a half hour, like, of having to just... I can't do it.
And personally, like, I'm not someone who, like, gets sick. I've never, to my knowledge, I've ever gotten sick from watching a 3D movie or what have you. But I can imagine, so you guys were getting sick too, so where people get sick regardless of its age.
You know, I didn't see anybody just walk up and be like, oh man, I can't do this.
But you guys did get sick to some extent.
Right. Until I turned it down.
So imagine if, I think Chopov was actually talking about this. Imagine someone who gets sick after 5 minutes or so and they're playing the Dragon Age equivalent as far as time goes for hours at a time. They really couldn't even do it then.
Right.
I think that's one big problem with that. For some people, I don't think it would ever actually bother.
I mean, 3D, I guess they're jumping onto it because it's the hot thing right now. But
I think that's also why they incorporated Slider.
Right, you can't turn it off.
If you're feeling sick, just turn it off.
Yeah. But then again, if you just have to turn it off, why do you have a 3DS? Why don't you just play a DS?
Then it's just a DS with a nub.
The nub is nice, though. I like the nub. I also like, I don't know if this was a feature on other versions of the DS, but the storage space for the stylus in the back.
I saw that.
I was so confused. This woman was like, "All right, just reach in and get the stylus." I'm like, "Where?" I couldn't find it, and then she just pulled it out. I'm like, "Oh my god, it's right there!"
It's in the same place as the DSi, right?
Yeah, I've never had a DSi.
DSi's still on the side. Like you pulled it out of the back.
This
right?
is out of the back, yeah.
I like how it extends. I don't know. I don't know if it's like the DSi or the XL. Did you guys notice that it extends?
The DSi one doesn't.
Not the stylus.
The stylus? No.
The 3DS. Uh-huh. I'm pretty sure when you pull it out, that you can actually like extend it like that.
So it was probably really small when she pulled it out, and she just happened to.
Just made it like a pointer.
Yeah.
Like smack teacher pointers. Oh, so. So you guys play anything else on the floor?
Man, I think I did. Nothing really noteworthy.
I saw Section 8. Prejudice, but I did not jump on the play.
I'm really actually somewhat excited for Homefront.
Mm-hmm.
I think that game's going to be pretty good. I've reached just visually speaking, at least.
Yeah, visually it kind of looks a little bit like Metro 2033, maybe on the same engine.
Yeah, I actually never played that game. I always wanted to, though. So maybe sometime in the future. But that game looks interesting. I love the setting of post-apocalyptic. I love those movies. I love the road and so on. But that game looks interesting. I didn't get to play it because this huge guy in front of me just started.
Yeah. That release date's coming up, though. What is that? Is that next week?
Tuesday.
Week after?
Tuesday. So, yeah, I'll be checking that out. I also played the other game I played was Bastion. Which Javi mentioned at the beginning, called Bastion. It's an action RPG. Could be Xbox Live Arcade, probably $15 summer this year. It's pretty cool. I was actually really impressed. Cool art style. The way the story, they made me put a headset on, which I hate doing at these things because I don't know whose fucking ears have been on those before. But,
right.
The story is actually the way the narrative goes is there's no cutscenes. It's just it's continuous.
Your
herpes.
Especially
if you
after body.
Yeah. Did you bring your ear condom?
Giant ear condoms on. It's cool art style, and the way the story is told, there's a narrator who's telling the story as it goes along, and the world builds as you move. So it's kind of like a Pathfinding thing. As you walk along, you watch the world just push itself into existence in front of you, and it's simple controls the X button to shoot arrows. You can charge up the shot. Y button rolls, and A does a regular attack. It's really easy to do, and it was kind of cool. So, I think tomorrow we're going to go try and see Duke in the Darkness.
I got two appointments for both those games. Well, one each.
Yeah.
And I'm also going to see L.A. Noire tomorrow. That's going to be great. How about you guys? I suggest you guys go check that out if you're interested.
Did you play that today, or?
L.A. Noire?
Yeah.
No, I'm going to go check that out tomorrow.
An insane line. That's a good 2-hour line.
Well, fortunately, those that are impressed, for the first hour, you'll just jump in front of the line.
Yeah, so I'm going over tomorrow morning. and try and Eleanor will be the first thing I hit up, and then
I need to steal Fozzie's badge. There's no way he's getting there. Really.
No.
Either his or Jeff's.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Eleanor, I'm checking out. Battlefield 3, even though I've seen plenty of gameplay before, I want to see the building crumble or whatever the whole hype is getting.
Yeah, I heard that's a half hour demo. I want to go in and watch it.
I'll go into minute 59 of that hour. Then what? We got a couple panels that you guys are looking forward to tomorrow.
Rage.
That game looks really good.
Yeah, so Brian, why don't you call us about Rage?
I saw the Rage panel today. I actually fell asleep a little bit during that panel. They turned all the lights off, and last night was a crazy party night here at the hotel. But that game looks really good. The art style and the graphics are amazing. I don't have anything else to say. I fell asleep during that panel.
Really?
Me too.
I was doing my...
Did you really? It's because they turned off all of the lights, which is not...
I
better
get around here. Hold on.
Hobby's back.
I'm back in the game. Did you get any listener questions?
No.
You should tweet for that, somebody.
So, Javi, did you actually see Rage?
Yeah, me and Brian were both
there. Brian fell asleep, so did you actually see Rage?
I was passing out, too.
It was a very boring demo.
You guys are making it seem pretty good. Yeah, Rage. Let's go to the panel, yeah.
We got a free t-shirt.
The thing is, if you're into Rage, like, if you're into the, like, id and all
that. And being angry.
But, like, everybody that was there was, like, totally fucking pumped for the game. And if you were interested in the game, the demo they had was very, very interesting. They had, like, really cool stuff to show. They showed the
cars.
Yeah, they showed the vehicles.
So there was some road rage.
Yeah. And they showed, like, this weird boomerang that could cut heads off and all these different fucking weapons.
I heard about this boomerang that could cut heads off. They said it was a little overpowered.
I don't know. It seemed like, you know, the thing about it is, like, it's an instant kill if you get it did on, but, like, it takes a second to regen because you have to wait for this thing to come back. But, it was cool. It was very cool. If you're into that kind of game, and that's the thing, like, I am not. Like, I kept hearing people all around me go, oh, fucking Fallout ripoff or Borderlands ripoff. And it is. It totally is.
Well, to be fair, this game was announced before Borderlands.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
This game has been around for like the past four or five years.
Nonetheless, like I'm a big. Me and Jeff were just talking before. I'm a big advocate of if it works, if a game's done it before and you can do it as well or better, then go for it. If it's fun, who fucking cares if it's a ripoff?
Right.
Yeah. So I mean,
look at Uncharted.
Yeah.
Look at Uncharted.
Exactly. Uncharted has nothing.
Yeah.
To
Uncharted's basically what Tomb Raider with a dude.
Exactly. Uncharted does it so well that. You know, who cares? It's great.
It's a little condescending. And I like Uncharted. But.
I love Uncharted. I think it's the best game on PS3. But
whoa.
I do.
In the PS3 podcast.
Uncharted 2, right?
Yeah, Uncharted 2.
That's
why I want to get really redundant.
That's not saying too much, but I don't know about you guys. I think the new Tomb Raider looks pretty fucking awesome.
Well,
I haven't seen any gameplay yet.
I've seen
pictures.
Yeah, I like the idea of the new Tomb Raider.
I like the old Tomb Raiders. Like, I don't have any problem with the current gen Tomb Raiders. Right. They're not great, but they're
exactly.
fun.
Exactly. No, I love the idea of the new Tomb Raider. I'm excited for the new one.
Yeah, it could be good.
But
you know what I like? That Tomb Raider game we got over the summer.
Yeah.
Segway this for sure.
And there was co-op. They finally released it. It was very fun.
But back to Rage. I mean, like, sorry. There's nothing wrong with Rage. It was super impressive, especially graphically. Graphically, it was fucking stunning.
It's just not your type of game.
It's just not my thing. But yeah, no, it's great.
Did you get a free T-shirt?
I got the card to go pick up a free t-shirt.
Oh.
I didn't go pick up.
What the fuck? I would want a free t-shirt.
Okay.
Yeah,
I'm not sure.
We're going to sell it on eBay.
What are you talking about? Those t-shirts are sick.
The rage ones are nice, yeah.
Is that the red one?
Yeah.
Oh, no. No. Probably not.
Well, it's
not good enough for him and his iPad.
Well, the only way to get the shirt was to be at that panel.
Right.
Like, you'd only get it yesterday. Like, you'd only get it yesterday. Otherwise, your card's useless.
He's probably going to use it to clean up the beer.
So we can't use your card.
Yeah. I have my card, but I'm screwed. I don't really care because, you know, it's not my kind of game. But it was impressive. It was absolutely, on a technical level,
it was really good, yeah.
Absolutely.
Would you go as far as, like, next-gen looking, really?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Like,
what do you mean by next-gen looking, like you're saying?
I thought
720.
Right.
PS4.
The Wii Revolution 2.
The Wii 2.
Right.
It's the Wii 6, I think.
Think about that Wii.
GameCube 3.
We make money off your stuff.
And then you saw the Xbox.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
It looked really good. It was running at a really solid 60 frames a second.
Wii soccer mode.
And it looked amazing. It was
just
no end to Wii games.
After running on the 360.
Yeah. Now, were they running it on a 360 or were they
running it on
a
360
with a 360?
Yeah.
Okay. Really?
Yeah, we have face tracking.
Because it was running so fucking smoothly and like the way the crosshairs would move and everything. Everything about it looked like a PC game, but it had the 360, like press A, press B, and it had the 360 icons on there. So they were definitely playing on 360. But like, it was
stunning, man.
Yeah.
Because there were a few games. I know they were showing Battlefield 3, but they were showing it on a a really high-end PC.
Right.
They were using.
But I mean, honestly, like when you look at like high-end PCs and 360s now with the capabilities that they're able to, I mean, is it that noticeable of a difference?
It is.
Oh yeah.
It is for some people, not for. I mean, for me, I would.
I don't know. Like I play Crysis on the highest settings, and it is. It is an amazing game. But you look at games now, you know, I think that on the Xbox, I think they can compete with games. Maybe you're right that it's not going to look as good, but to the normal gamer, I mean, is it really that much of a difference where you're like...
No, of course not.
I think the PC has to get some games though that look way better, though.
Right.
Because... What was that?
Battlefield 3. I mean,
yeah, it's like
PC version is actually the lead platform.
Because they need
really?
Games to push
wow.
like the consoles forward. Like
right,
otherwise,
right.
we're just gonna keep getting like. I mean, the games we're getting are great looking,
yeah.
but if they could do better.
Well, I mean, PC doesn't have nearly as many exclusives as it used to have either. So I mean, that plays a huge part.
I do like that. You know, it is Battlefield 3 is the lead platform on PC. Like,
yeah, I mean, you play PC and actually kind of like that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of a commodity
interface. Yeah. I mean, it's cool and all. I just, you know, and I built my first PC last year, and it kind of sucks
like
that...
Like the first one ever?
Yeah.
You came out of Stone Age.
Yeah, fucking C-Doc that should
come
out,
and
built. Without him,
it's
I would
not the first one he's had.
Yeah. And it was just like, and I was so proud of it. I was like, this is my baby and everything. And then, like, it just sucks that 3 months later you realize that this thing's, like, not obsolete, but... There's bear shit out there all the time. You know?
That's why I don't like PC. But I like the fact that it's almost like forcing. It's going to eventually force the consoles to bring a new generation.
Right.
Like,
But I honestly think that PC gaming is slowly just like down the spiral because you look at these casual gamers, you think that they're actually going to spend like $2,000 to get like an upgraded like PC.
But they're not. That's never been who runs the who like.
Yeah, if they can play their Facebook games, I'm pretty sure they're good, you know.
Yeah, like the hardcore PC gamers are going to upgrade their PC, and like,
sure.
that's what's going to push us forward.
But I mean, how many sales is that going to bring in?
I mean, they StarCraft did all right.
Now, what do you think is, like, is there a game out there now, whether it's more...
I'm just saying that, like, if I had a choice of what game I wanted to make the leading, like, console...
Or if you're going sales-wise, you're
going
to go with what?
I'm going with 360, PS3, PC, Wii.
So, Benny, what were you asking?
As far as whether it's exclusive or multi-platform, do you think there's a game out there that maxes it out? For example, Crysis 2... The guys over at Crytek, they said that as far as a multi-console game, multi-platform game, Crysis 2 does max out. However, if you, for Codename Kingdoms, which is going to be an Xbox 360 exclusive, that's going to look better, technically speaking.
Right.
But that is because it's basically that game's going to max out.
I think it comes down to the engines, too.
Right, right. It's like what you can get out of the processor.
Right.
I can't wait for that game, Codename Kingdoms. I'm so interested in the game.
Codename Kingdoms?
What?
Condom Kingdoms?
Condom Kingdoms.
Quest of fucking vaginal ecstasy.
Sorry, Father's mom.
I don't like Napo because at first when he met me, like, he didn't bring up Father's mom that much. But then as he got to know me more and more, like, to see me, like, oh, it's Napo that's...
I got to know you and your mother.
So.
It's like the asshole of Napo that's on the fucking computer now.
So
yeah, you can't tell the difference.
Anymore. We've been running for like an hour and a half now, so... Before we wrap this up.
You have any questions? No questions.
So why don't you ask Brian?
Yeah, Brian, you're a listener. Ask a question.
Fucking Brian on Twitter.
You're the problem.
Hey, Chris.
Yeah.
Did you see fucking Black Swan?
I did.
That was good, right?
It was a good movie.
I really like that movie. Yeah.
So one of my
the
top
five. The part where Natalie Portman made out with Fozzie's mom.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, I liked it a lot.
You said top 127 hours, top 10. You're saying
yeah. I always Black Swan more. Yeah.
Wow.
Wait, Jeff, have you not seen Black Swan?
No, I haven't.
It's really good.
It's up there with The Town and Inception for me.
Wow, dude. Like, I did not get that vibe.
You like ballerina movies, you like Black Swan.
What was your favorite movie last
year? No shit.
I'm still like...
That's my reader.
Peter.
Yeah, let's do it. Favorite movie of 2007.
Scott Pilgrim. You know,
Chocolate.
Let's let just say, before anybody says anything.
Okay.
Quick, unplug his
mic. My favorite film doesn't... I don't care about Academy Awards. I don't care about being the classiest film. Yeah, like, there's much better on paper films, but like...
It's going to go with the porno. I can hear it already.
If you're asking me what movie I was most entertained by, what movie I would rather own than anything else that came out last year, Scott Pilgrim. I love that fucking
movie.
More
than it's... You know, it's fine. I mean, that's how I would go by it, too.
It's good. It's fucking awesome.
Like a job placement?
No.
I definitely have to say that Scott Pilgrim is probably the movie that I watched the most.
That was
really
awesome. Really awesome because of like the last fight on.
Yeah.
It's just downhill from there.
Yeah.
I love that movie though. It's great.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's fun.
I love it.
It's fun, yeah.
Yeah, it's like totally my
and it's that movie especially since it bombed pretty badly. I think, not only was it hard, you know, the year leading up to that movie to see
it. It was
like,
very hard.
Yeah,
we're never going to see something like it again.
It was amazing. All right. Chris,
yeah.
Favorite movie of 2010?
Wow. I have only narrowed down three.
Kick Ass.
No. I didn't like Kick Ass.
What?
I mean,
yeah,
it was
yeah,
like,
I was going to say, did that movie really come out?
Yeah, it was March.
It was March earlier.
Oh, wow.
This time last
year. I
mean,
that movie wasn't that great.
Yeah, I had fun.
I didn't like the lead character.
I didn't like the villain either. I liked the villain for thinly
sketched. That movie is fine, but, I mean, no one in this room remembered that it came out in 2010.
Yeah.
It wasn't that good.
I like Nick Cage.
I like
Nick
Girl.
And I like Nick Girl. That's what I liked about that movie.
Who I loved.
I hated everybody else.
She was great.
Yeah, she was really good. Let Me In.
That girl's fucking
great. You know what she's really good in, too? That, Let Me In.
Yeah.
Watch that shit.
You
that's
know,
out there, too.
You know what? My favorite thing about Let Me In is how you guys spoiled the whole fucking movie in your podcast.
Did we do that?
I mean...
What, did she the vampire?
I didn't know anything going into that movie,
spoilers.
I didn't realize...
Spoiler
warning.
We're going to spoil it again, because we want to fuck this shit out.
It's based off a book, and it's a remake of...
It's a remake of a Swedish film that no one saw.
And
did you guys see it because you were prepping to watch?
No, we saw it.
Hey, you guys have to change your name from movie dudes to spoiler.
I actually saw it.
Benny goes to
the
bathroom for 5 minutes.
Spoiler death.
Spoiler shit out of
him. So it's a vampire movie.
Yes.
Whoa.
But I didn't know that going in.
The movie's not so blunt, is it?
never say vampire.
Yeah.
They just show her sucking blood.
And I mean, you don't realize this is a vampire.
Doing weird vampire shit.
It's almost over.
I love that movie. I thought it was a really
fucking good movie.
And thanks
for spoiling it.
You're welcome.
Did you guys like
the remake? I bet spoiling it made it better for you.
Do you guys like the remake more than the original?
I didn't see the original. I don't know.
The original is largely the same, but like something about the remake was, I like the American setting, I like the cinematography, and they like define the relationship between the guy that's taking care of her and her more.
You
knew what was going on.
Yeah, I call that the Matt Reeves spice.
Christopher Reeves.
Matt Reeves. He's the director of the movie. He directed.
Oh, okay.
Christopher
Reeves.
He directed Cloverfield, and
no,
he's best friends with
J.J.
Abrams.
They
created Felicity together. Matt Reeves.
He was before that. I'm a huge fan, but he's dead. Sorry.
Everybody's bad with Felicity because it's on like women's entertainment and shit. But like that was J.J. Abrams' first show. Him and Matt Reeves created that shit together. That show is fucking amazing. I'm not even kidding.
Anyway, what were we talking about? So, it's either Inception, The Town, or Black Swan.
The Town?
The
Town, yeah.
You guys are crazy.
Easily, I think the top for me was like The Town, or which the one I have a tendency to love the movie I just saw.
Yeah.
So, but the Tower of the
Earth. Just watched this porn yesterday.
Yeah.
You should go rob a bank, guys.
I love The Town, but I also really love, I loved 127 Hours. I thought that was really fucking good,
yet.
Man.
I haven't seen that yet either.
Is it worthy for Franco? You know what? After seeing it, I'm kind of disappointed he didn't win. Like, he was.
Was he nominated?
Yeah,
he was never a serious contender for it. It was Eisenberg and Colin Firth the whole time.
Eisenberg was pretty awesome.
What about I was disappointed during the Oscars when Eisenberg didn't win.
Fuck Colin Firth. I didn't see the King.
Yeah, fuck. You know what?
I haven't seen it yet. I really don't.
Fucking Academy Awards.
None of you guys did.
No one saw this fucking movie.
I thought it is really good. It's a very well put together film. It's not even close to my favorite film of the year, but I feel like that's the problem with the Academy Awards. Like, no one gives a shit about those movies.
I think the Academy picks a favorite going in. Lately, it seems like I remember this happening with Titanic. It won everything.
Right.
And like last year, Hurt Locker won everything. It's like I'm sick of everything winning. Or one movie winning everything. I want to see.
Well, I mean, you should definitely watch that movie. It's really
I'm gonna
really
have to see it. Yeah.
You never seen Titanic?
I love
it. Right. You should definitely see that movie.
Leo.
Leo.
Well, King's Speech is like it's one of those.
Kate Winslet.
My hobby will go.
Wait. Is there Kate Winslet boob in it?
Yeah.
I don't think there's any boob in it.
There is. There's a scene where she's laying on the couch,
just like said.
And it's really quick, but he's drawing her.
King's Speech?
No. King's Speech.
I thought we were talking about Titanic. Because Kate Winslet's boob in Titanic.
Well, of course, we all know that.
You said this, Kate Winslet's boob.
Kate Winslet's
like, yeah, Kate Winslet's
boob. Kate Winslet's in the movie, we're going to see some Kate Winslet boob. Can you name a movie where Kate Winslet was in where she didn't show her boobs? Exactly.
No,
I don't think I've ever seen a movie with
Winslet.
Titanic.
You
can't count the
drawings. What are you talking about?
Yeah, she's total. They're total.
She's been all crafty to get
people to a piece of shit.
Maybe you're too young to see that movie on.
The reason they got away with it because it wasn't a sex scene. It was
quite obviously PG-13, right?
Yeah.
There's definitely
the reader, there was definitely.
Oh, there is. It's in the car.
All they showed was the hand of a man.
Yeah.
Well,
fogged up car. Her hand running down the fucking window
of
the car.
Of Titanic. Literally, the Mormon version.
Oh, that's
on the thing.
That's right.
Yeah.
You guys are known for that.
Yeah, and they cut out the titties in the Mormon version.
So you never saw the Kate Winslet boob?
No, of course I did. I saw the boob. And we bought the real shit. Not that stupid shit.
So like they don't edit it beforehand for you.
Okay.
Like, I don't want to see a movie in Utah ever.
It's fucking nuts, dude.
We have one movie where she's not the reader, but it's like it came out with that around the same time with Leo DiCaprio.
Revolution Road.
That was a good book, man.
Okay, was it boobs in it? Hers.
Dude, she always shows her boobs.
Yeah, no, there's like some because her husband directed that movie.
Yeah.
And she does like some pretty like hardcore shit with the Capricorn.
Like, whatever. After The Reader came out, she's like, okay, I'm done. I won my Oscar. Now I have to show my ass. When every single movie she's in, there's ass, tits, pussy, and all that.
You know what's right too? It's like she did that movie, Revolutionary Road or whatever. She did it with Leonardo DiCaprio, and she won some award. I think she might have won the Oscar or something for it.
No, I think it was The Reader she won Oscar.
Yeah, she won the one where she played, like, the Nazi chick.
Really? Okay. I remember her winning some award, though, and going up on stage and going, Leo, you are the love of my life, and this and that, and her fucking husband's right there in the audience.
Like,
literally
on angle.
She's like, I love you, Leo. I was like, okay.
Yeah, I'm just going to the bathroom.
We got to get to... There's more people to get to here.
Backdoor
stuff. Alright. I'm going to abstain from this. 2010 was not a good year for me actually watching movies.
Yeah, did you see something that you love?
Well, I mean, I can't even remember like which movies I saw.
Did you see Fozzie's Favorite?
It was pretty fucking awesome.
I saw Fozzie's Mom in Backdoor
Stuff. Benny?
I mean, this is kind of, seems a little late to be asking this question, but I mean,
yeah,
Inception is definitely up there. As much as I watch it, you can kind of pick that movie apart the more times you watch it, but I mean, it's
so like, no, who cares? It's all us.
I love it. It's really sad when you see other movies that are definitely, that have their potential and deserve their award, but when you have a movie so original like Inception and so well done with fantastic music and really good acting overall.
Yeah.
It really is such a downer that something that, you know, no one worked on for 8 years just writing, not even counting its filming, and it gets hardly in it.
I feel like it almost gets avoided because of the hype. Like, because it's almost mainstream.
Right.
Like, it almost feels like The Dark Knight hurt Inception.
Well, you know what? Titanic was almost $2 billion as far as revenue, and beat it alone cleaned up.
You know what, though? I would have liked to have seen The Dark Knight win Best Picture. Like, I would like to have seen it.
Right?
I thought that movie was excellent, right?
It is.
But something about Inception, it was very well done, well written, but I wasn't emotionally involved with any of the characters. Sorry.
You were only emotionally involved with The Dark Knight. They filmed it in Chicago.
It was. I think The Joker, which... I tried to put aside the fact that Heath Ledger died, and I was just going to see it as a movie, and I don't think there's anyone in this room that would be like, no, it was, like, the Joker was not amazing, he was
to kind of catch what you're saying, it was, his performance wasn't overwhelming at all. When you first seen that movie, assuming people didn't just say it for you, it was like, it did seem like he was going a little too far, a little, at least for me.
Heath.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
But I was like, whenever I watched the movie, because it was so ridiculously high, and in the end, deservedly so. But I was like, the movie's not that great, or it's not as great as they were saying. So
wait,
again,
like, the rumor about Ledger was that he didn't even want, like, he took the role because his agent got it for him, and
yeah, I heard that he was actually.
He was trying to get thrown off the set, and that's why he was acting like an ass, and like, that was what his performance
really?
Was trying to get thrown off
well,
the set.
Well, that's more of a rumor, that he was actually doing his exaggerated acting.
It seemed very dedicated to me, like...
Exaggerated acting, that he can get fired while still getting paid.
He would get his $10 million or whatever.
And have his vacation.
I remember it being announced as Ledger, and I remember seeing they released a photo. I saw it in Any Cool News. I'm like, this is, what the fuck is this? You know, but then, like, he fucking
knocked it out
of the
park. I actually, whenever I saw him on G4, whenever they announced it, and they showed, like, a brief shot of footage of him on the red carpet or something like that, and I saw him, and I was like, bam, immediately. I knew, it was like, that guy's going to be perfect. Not like I thought he was going to be as awesome as he was, but it was like, visually, it seemed like he was great, and...
Well, I was always a fan of Heath Ledger, even what's his like fucking
That was Brian's fault.
Alright,
so before we call this a night, Javi. How'd you like Killzone 3?
Oh my goodness. Okay, so Killzone 3, I think Killzone in general is an acquired taste.
You beat it, so I can't actually talk
so
to you about
either,
it.
Either you get it and you love the chaos and the fucking craziness and the noise and the world that it's built. Either you like that, and in which case you'll fucking love the game.
Well, I'll break something.
Or you won't, which I understand, Jeff.
Jeff, you were playing it and you're like,
it didn't click with me. I can't, like, oh, that's bad. I was
watching Jeff play the demo and you're like, there's too much noise and chaos. Like, I don't like this.
Yeah, it didn't click with me. I'm not big on shooters on PS3. So.
Sure. Well, you know, it is chaos. It's supposed to be like war. It's supposed to be fucking everything.
Yeah, my mic's been plugged out this whole time.
No, it's good. We plugged it back in, dude.
And another thing about Killzone 3.
We should all just ask our own listener questions.
I know, right?
I'll come up with some shit.
So like
someone ask questions about
you asked the question.
Me?
Not about children. I asked Javier. Why we talk about?
I think we should all like come up with our own listener question.
Right. I think we're gonna wrap it up though.
Yeah.
Bobby's yeah. gonna pass out on the floor.
Wait, but for Javier to conclude.
Right.
Well, Star Trek 3 was a lot of vehicle missions, like almost too much, and some of them were like sloppily put together. I could feel it, like the especially like
mm-hmm.
the snowmobile mission. What the hell is that?
Mm-hmm.
Right. But. That being said, it really diversifies the game. Like for the most part, it works. There's some parts where you're like, it's okay. But it only lasts, like, maybe 5 minutes, if that.
Fozzy won't be able to comment, but... but I talked with Fozzy about it, and one of my problems with it was that, like, it never seemed to feel like they... to let you go past like a certain point. They didn't feel comfortable enough with what they were making, so they cut it off. They were like, alright, yeah, this was really cool, but we don't want to like give them any more, so let's do something else cool. And they threw that something else right
what
in
what
there.
Do you mean exactly?
Like, you're going along, like you're in a gunfight, and all of a sudden that gunfight just ends abruptly.
There's like almost too much variety, like they're just like,
and then they throw you into a mech, and it's like, alright, so you get comfortable with the mech, and it's like, alright, let's take him out and put him in a tank.
Right.
And it's like, alright, you're getting comfortable with the tank. Like, alright, let's take him out and let's jump ahead 6 months. And
yeah, I can see that. Like, it's definitely...
It's worried
about, like...
It shouldn't be more than, like, probably three things at once.
It's like they wanted to put too much into the game.
Yeah, it's like, you had the mech, you had the tank, you had the snowmobile, you had the jetpack. Like,
the jump pack.
Yeah, so it wasn't actually, you didn't actually fly with it, you just fell to the ground for the most part.
One thing I fucking hated about Killzone 2, God, I fucking hate Rico.
That's the thing, they kind of make him not likable, but they make him have to deal with the consequences of what he did and deal them.
Right, but it's not like I hate him like, oh, he's such a dick because he did this. I fucking hate that he was ever created.
Hate his existence.
I don't know, like, he's worse, like, than everyone in Gears put together as far as his meatheadedness. For me, anyway.
No. I mean, like, he has a natural, like, hoorah, like, hatred for the Higgs, you know, like, whatever. But, like, I mean, in Killzone 3, like, everybody's so fucking mad at him.
Okay, to be fair, I haven't played 3.
I think your issue is that he is so close to the meathead archetype that he's practically generic, right?
Yeah, it's just, like, so, like,
covers Lone Star.
Yeah. I don't know, then, like, towards the end of the second one where he, like, fucks up and, like, kills Garza. Which pissed me off.
There was fucking covers.
Yeah.
Fucking Higgs.
Yeah,
he just totally fucked up and killed someone. His own, well, you know, indirectly killed his own partner out of his own stupidity. And visually speaking, he looked like a fucking idiot to me.
He does look like a little MR. He takes the short bus to school.
He takes the short cheese.
Yeah. Exactly.
Did anyone play Killzone 3?
Hey, didn't we like lock you in like a basement? Yeah, I got out.
Is that good?
Cool.
Not really, it was very slapped on.
Yeah, that's probably the same show for this week. I'll see you guys next week.